Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunga Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunda Vihari. Kopi Dana Balaba Balava Griva Dari Daya Griva Dari Yasoda Nandana Raja Dana Rangana Jaya Braja Dana Rangana Tiravaratari Jaya Kunda Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunda Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunda Vihari Kopi Dana Balava Gopi Dana Balava
Shupad Brahmang Suprabhakashara Asatara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace Shalesi Bhakti Vedanta Swamira Shila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premanande Hari All Glories to the Sound Devotees All Glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Namaham Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamira Namane Namaste Sarasutunde Ve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvishesha Shinivadi Paskyatya Desatarne Oma Gana Tamirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavamscha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shirada Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivasakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna, Karna Sindo, Dina Bando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchena, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshri, Vrishavana, Sudadevi, Pranamami, Hari Priye,
Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura, Text Number 19. Gam Paryantam Medya Vivikta Vriti Sada Aplutaha Araha Shayana Avadhuta Alakshita Shvai Avadhuta Vesha Vratani Sere Haritoshanani Gamparyantan Medya Vivikta Vriti Sada Pluto Da Shaino Vaduta Alakshita Swear Avaduta Vesho Ratani Sere Harito Shanani Gamparyantan Medya Vivikta Vriti Sada Pluto Da Shaino Vaduta Alakshita Swear Avaduta Vesho Vratani Sere Harito Shanani Gamparyantan Medya Vivikta Vriti Sada Pluto Da Shaino Vaduta Alakshita Swear Avaduta Vesho Kani Sere Harito Shanani Amvaryantam Medya Vivikta Vriti Sudaputoda Saino Vaduta Sudaputoda Saino Vaduta Sudaputoda Harito Shanani Ladies Varyantam Medya Vivikta Vriti Sada Pluto Da Shaino Vaduta Alakshita Swear Vaduta Vesho Pratani Sere Haridoshanani Gam Earth Paryantan Transversing, Medya, pure, Vivikta, Riti,
independent occupation for living.
Sada, always, Aplutaha, sanctified, Adaha, on the earth, Shayana, lying. Abadhuta, without dressing, of the hair, etc. Alakshita, without being seen, sway, alone. Abadhuta, Vesha, dressed like a mendicant. Vratani, vows. Sere, performed. Haritoshanani, that pleased the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While so transversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by taking his bath in holy places. Although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hair dressing nor a bed on which to lie. Thus he was always unseen by his various relatives. Purport, the first and foremost duty of a pilgrim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord, Hari. While traveling as a pilgrim, one should not be worried about pleasing society. There is no need to depend on social formalities or occupation or dress. One should remain always absorbed in the function of pleasing the Lord. Thus sanctified by thought and action, one is able to realize the Supreme Lord by the process of a pilgrim's journey. Read the next verse. Itam rajan bharatam eva varsham kalena yava gatavan pravasam tavat chashasa shitim eka chakram ekatapatram ajitena parataha. Thus, when he was in the land of Bharatvarsha, traveling to all places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhasa Kshetra. At that time, Maharaj Yudhishthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag. Purport. More than 5,000 years ago, while Saint Vidura was traveling the earth as a pilgrim, India was known as Bharatvarsha, as it is known even today. The history of the world cannot give any systematic account for more than 3,000 years into the past. But before that, the whole world was under the flag and military strength of Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was the emperor of the world. At present, there are hundreds and thousands of flags flapping in the United Nations. But during the time of Vidura, there was, by the grace of Ajita, Lord Krishna, only one flag. The nations of the world are very eager to gain, again, to have one state under one flag. But for this, they must seek the favor of Lord Krishna, who alone can help us become one worldwide nation. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasadai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasikatya De Sadarne. The purpose of the pilgrim is to acquire Krishna consciousness, or taking pilgrimages. Krishna says, Tatshtradana Munaya Jnana Vairaga Yuktaya Pashantyatmani Chatmanam Bhakti Shruta Grihitaya. As the background of Krishna consciousness is knowledge and detachment. Knowledge that we're spiritual beings and knowledge of how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. That should bring about detachment. Detachment from the idea that we're going to become the Lord, we're going to become the controller, and we're going to be the enjoyer. That in the mode of ignorance, we think that we're the enjoyer. That even the amoebas in this world, although they can't control very much, but their whole idea is to enjoy. They simply absorb everything, they surround everything and try to enjoy it. The basic principle of material life, of course, is enjoyment, because the basic principle of existence is to enjoy. Whatever anyone does is to enjoy. Even when people put pins through their tongue, the whole idea is to be happy, to enjoy. Sometimes you see that people have pins in their eyelids, in their ears, in their nose, in their tongue, in their lips. The whole idea is to be happy doing that. Of course, there's happiness in the mode of goodness, there's happiness in the mode of passion, and there's happiness in the mode of ignorance. All the different types of happiness cannot be the same. But somehow or another, one is happy in some position. Of course, Maya, as I explained before, Maya is always advertising to enjoy. Just like the fisherman takes his bait on the hook, offers it to the fish. The fish grabs hold of the hook, gets reeled up, gets cut open by the fisherman and thrown into a frying pan and fried. His idea was to enjoy, but he winds up fried. Similarly, everyone is trying to enjoy, but it's not that everyone will wind up equally enjoying. In the mode of ignorance, we try to enjoy, and in the mode of ignorance, we try to control. We think we're the doer of the activities. We think I must make the arrangements so that I can enjoy economic development for sense gratification. Therefore, the whole world is busily trying to control the resources, the material energy, in some way, so that they think they're going to enjoy them. And then, when one comes out of the modes of ignorance and passion, or if one gets plenty of material, more than enough to enjoy and to control, then one thinks oneself to be the benefactor of everyone. Even the husband or the wife dealing with the children or with each other think, yes, I'm the one who's supplying everything for the enjoyment. I'm the benefactor. I'm the savior. But Maharishi Shabdev said that no one should become a father. Pita nasyasya, svajano nasyasya, guru nasyasya, svajano nasyasya, daivam nasyasya, pitaro nasyasya, namochya kyaksam upeti mujitum. That no one should become a father, a mother, a relative, a worshipful demigod, the guru, unless one is able to save the dependents from birth and death. So the way we save our dependents from birth and death is to become an instrument for Krishna, not to become the savior. Krishna is the savior, and if we become the instrument, Krishna can save people by utilizing our present material existence in his service. In any case, the pilgrims, they have an opportunity, first of all, to become detached. Out of ignorance, we're thinking we're the owner of so many things. Just like Prabhupada gives the example, they've divided the land up and they claim that this is Australia, for example. They sent a bunch of convicts here, undoubtedly, who were stealing, and they let them steal Australia. So now they're thinking this Australia belongs to me. Of course, what do they do to get Australia? What was their saintly activity, was the godly activity that God gave them, Australia? They came here and they kicked out the Aborigines. So does that mean that it's theirs? Of course, we come here, Prabhupada said briefly, for some years, imagining ourselves that we are the owners of Australia. I'm in Australia and this land is mine, at least they say in America. This land is my land. This land is your land. From the Texas border or something, I don't know. They sing about it, how everything belongs to me. But actually, we're only here for a few minutes, a few moments, and then we quit the body, and we may come back here in Australia, as Prabhupada would say, but we may have come back as a tree. So, if you're coming back as a tree in Australia, well, is the tree thinking Australia belongs to me? No, someone will come along and cut you down and burn you. And what can you do to protest? You can say, wait a second. I was the Prime Minister of Australia. You can't do this to me. Sore. So much for your being the Prime Minister of Australia. Now you're a tree. What can you do? You can't protest. Therefore, this illusion that we are Australians, this is the basic principle of illusion. Nirmana, moha, citta, sangha, dosha. Due to this mana, this false understanding, this cloudy mind, we misidentify ourselves with the body, all due to illusion. And then we get so much false association. Not only people think they're Australians, but they think they're black or white, they think they're male or female, they think they're rich or poor, They think they're a lion, they belong to the Lions Club, or the Elks Club, or the Rabbit Club, or some kind of club. But these are all due to false associations. Actually, there's only one club everyone belongs to, is Krishna's servant. Everyone is serving Krishna, Ishvara, Sarabhutanam, Rideshe Arjuna Tishtati, Brahmayan Sarabhutani Yantru Dani Maria. Krishna is a controller. He's moving everyone. Simply, we can choose where we want to go. But Krishna, we rely on Krishna to drive us there. We can choose to go to heaven or hell, become a rabbit, a dog, a bird, a tree, a human being, a demigod. We can choose what we want, but we have to rely upon Krishna to offer us these opportunities. In any case, the one identity everyone has, Ekla, Ishvara Krishna, Sarva Kama Britya. That Krishna is the one who's fulfilling everyone's desires. If you go on pilgrimage and you don't take along, just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going on pilgrimage to Vrindavan, he was surrounded by thousands of followers. Rupa Goswami saw him and said, this is not a very good way of going on pilgrimage. That you should probably go back to Navadvip and sneak out of Navadvip and then go on pilgrimage then. But don't go to pilgrimage making a big show, going to the holy places. Sometimes people do that. They want to make a big show. But Krishna is not so much impressed by our big show. Similarly, when Ramananda Roy was going back to Jagannath Puri, he suggested to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you just go back to Jagannath Puri. It wouldn't be very good for me to accompany me because I'm surrounded by all these horses and all these soldiers, and it's not a very good atmosphere. So pilgrimage means something quiet and peaceful where one can concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that will bring about detachment from this so many false understandings that we have, so many false identifications. So that's the purpose of pilgrimage. Then, being freed from these false identifications, all these needless desires, just like if one is living in a house, then you need a washing machine, then you need a dryer, you need an iron, you need a car, you need to pay the electricity, the water, the rent. You have to make sure you go to the supermarket. You have to get so many arrangements have to be made. So much distraction. But on pilgrimage, you just, well, at least the way the pilgrimage used to be performed previously, they didn't call up in advance and make reservations and make sure that there was a good restaurant nearby and call up to get the Dobie Waller to do your laundry and make sure check your to-do list and make sure you brought along everything, your suntan lotion, your bathing suit, your no, pilgrimages were a lot more simple previously. Of course, people had more faith, they had more ability to go on a pilgrimage. They didn't live in air-conditioned houses all year round. It wasn't such a big shock to them to go on a pilgrimage. It wasn't that, you know, going to the forest, they go in there and, you know, take a look around. Do you hear anything in there? You know, we got your machine gun with you and two hand grenades, and anything that moves, shoot it. No, they had more experience living simply. And they had some more faith in God that Krishna would supply whatever they needed. And they knew, they knew basically what's in material nature. They understood what was edible everywhere they went. Not that they looked around, they saw everything as one big weed. They actually knew how to utilize everything, the roots, the different types of plants, the herbs. They knew exactly what the properties of all the different plants and trees and herbs and nuts and fruits. They knew exactly. Not like Kalindi's little rabbit. Even the little rabbit didn't know what to eat. Isn't that right, Kalindi? Yes. So even the rabbit's not even educated in Kali Yuga. So what to speak of us? But people back there, they had more intelligence. They knew exactly what to eat. They knew how to protect themselves in all different types of weather. There was more piety, so the climate was more stable. So many factors, so they could go without attachment on pilgrimage and visit the holy places where they took care of the deities and spend their time hearing and chanting about Krishna, fixing their mind upon Krishna. And by doing this, they got free from all material attachment and they were able to come to the platform of perfect Krishna consciousness. Nor was there a big thing about dress. If you went to a holy place, a pilgrimage, it wasn't a fashion show that all the ladies there were displaying their newest Jaipur saris there. And all the men had to have, you know, exactly the fresh-pressed dhoti with nice tilak, etc. There wasn't a big fashion show going on. People were not looking at each other, what are you eating, what's for lunch, etc. No, there was quite simple living. People, especially in the holy places of pilgrimage, everyone knew that the real important thing was that Krishna had a nice dress, that Krishna had nice food, that everything was dedicated to Krishna's service, and that the pilgrims were not so much on the Bali platform. Therefore, they didn't worry so much about their occupation or dress or social formalities. Therefore, when Siddhama Vipra went to see Lord Krishna on his pilgrimage to Dwarka, although it was Dwarka, still he didn't worry about putting on a fancy dress. He simply went there as he is, as he was. And it wasn't that the gatekeepers didn't let him into the court because he wasn't nicely dressed. He didn't have this follow the dress etiquette or dress code. There was no dress code in Dwarka for the Brahmins, especially entering into Dwarka. And when Lord Krishna saw Siddhama, he didn't say, "My dear Siddhama, why don't you first take a shower and get put on a proper dress, and then I can embrace you as a dear friend." No, whatever clothing he had, whether he's clean or non-clean, immediately Lord Krishna and went to embrace him. So this is called detachment. Of course, avaduta doesn't mean that one is an avaduta and at the same time one is completely in maya, in the mode of ignorance. Avaduta doesn't mean the mode of ignorance. It means that one is actually absorbed in thinking about Krishna, so external things are not very important. Just like the python man, he was absorbed in thinking about Krishna, and therefore Prahlad Maharaj was wondering, how is it that you've gotten so fat? So he said that somehow or another, whoever gives me anything to eat, I just eat it, but my real business is thinking about Krishna. So the Pandavas, for instance, at the end of their life, they gave up their nice dress, they gave up all their formalities, they went to the Himalayas, and they absolved their mind in thinking about Krishna. So this is the purpose of vairagya, so that one does not become distracted. That's the purpose of vanaprastha. Here we have to have nice hair, nice dress, shave our beards, cut our nails, etc., cut our toenails, except take bath regularly, etc., etc. In this way, we can live in a society more or less of like human beings. At least we look like human beings. But of course, nowadays, people appear to be nice. They decorate themselves with a suit. Everyone's supposed to get a haircut. They mow their lawn. But their lives are completely black. Their hearts are full of sinful desires. Their activities are all abominable. Even for cleanliness, they take alcohol and rub it on themselves to clean themselves. The most contaminating things they put on themselves to clean themselves. And they consider themselves to be very civilized. But actually, civilized is a state of consciousness. that the qualities of an actual civilized person are the brahminical qualities, like cleanliness and truthfulness. Not that I'm externally I appear very nice, but actually everything that comes out of my mouth is a lie. I take a shower once a month, even if I'm not dirty, just as a formality, keep my neighbors happy. Sense and mind control, whatever my senses and mind demand, immediately I fulfill, whatever the cost. So this is not civilization, this is not humanity, this is simply a different version of a two-legged animal. So it's not the nice dress and external formalities that make one a gentleman or a lady, it's the actual consciousness. Therefore, in the beginning, one has to be trained as a brahmachari, so there's some etiquette. So at least we control our mind and senses according to some custom. And all customs in every civilized country, nation, means that there has to be some restraint of the senses. Not that men and women get together like cats and dogs, produce children, the children running everywhere, screaming, setting houses on fire, people on fire, which happens sometimes. When you have Varna Sankara, they get together and they run wild like animals, destroying things. So some brahmachari, brahmacharini has to be there, some culture, civilization, so that grihastha life produces children who are brought up civilized so they can understand the importance of tapasya, austerity. Not that unless I have my video game, I'll die. If I can't watch my video, can't play my video game, I'll watch this television, I'll take poison and die. I can't live for 5 minutes without a cookie in my mouth. Or else my life is a failure. No, children are taught from the very beginning austerity so that they can learn how to control their mind and senses and fix them for a higher purpose other than just serving the senses and the mind, the dictations of them. Then one, at the end of, after a certain age, one can perform tapasya and then one can become renounced. So vanaprastha is meant to detach us from all the things that we think are necessary, which are all anarthas, or actually unnecessary. Modern civilization is a civilization mostly producing anarthas, giving us so much imagination that we need a computer, we need a television, we need a video, we need a car, we need, you know, a hair dryer, we need an electric toothbrush, we need, you know, electric shaver, we need so many different things. Otherwise, how can we survive? And if we survived in a more simple way, that would be barbaric. So this is all anartha, because it's simply a waste of time. Of course, in the service of Krishna, so many things can be utilized, but they have to be utilized in the service of Krishna. But if one is spending too much time accumulating things, then there's no time to hear and chant about Krishna. One is too busy accumulating things. And what will happen to them at the time of our death? Someone else will take them and start accumulating from where we left off. In America, they have one little bumper sticker that says, whoever has the most toys at the end of life wins. But that's not the purpose of life. It's just to accumulate things and then leave our body. And we've trained up our children to accumulate things too, by our example and by our instructions. And they just spend the rest of their lives accumulating anarthas. And on the basis of trying to get more and more material things, then our relationship with others is distorted, our pride being materially opulent, being so-called learned, being able to acquire things, thinking ourselves by our makeup and our hair and our dress, we become very bodily beautiful, that I'm very aristocratic. So much imagination, so much illusion goes into accumulating things. And then ultimately, you get too many things, you have to utilize some of them for your sense gratification or the sense gratification of others. And the result is that one will never have time to hear the philosophy or act religiously so one can think about liberation. Therefore, one should come regularly to hear Bhagavatam One should regularly engage one's energies in the service of Krishna, especially by preaching, trying to spread the Hare Krishna mantra, the philosophy that one should not simply accumulate things for the sake of pride or so-called material comfort. So Prabhupada said, we can live so comfortably, but at the same time we should try to become Krishna conscious. Otherwise we'll be wasting our time. Prabhupada didn't say we have to live in the forest nowadays, but we should at least not waste our time over-endeavoring, forgetting about Krishna, simply to accumulate more and more things with no real purpose other than the fact of taking pride in our accumulations. So we have to hear regularly, we have to execute devotional service, then we can utilize whatever energies we have in Krishna's service, and if we become Krishna conscious, then naturally all our problems of life will be solved. Otherwise, we'll have so many problems of life, so many things we think are our problems, but they're just caused by our own creations. So it's nice being here, seeing the beautiful deities here. Nice that Lord Balaram finally got a new club. Looks like he's ready to whack anyone who gets out of line. And Krishna's still trying to hold up the hill, so everything's still holding up New Govardhan. So everything, I'm sure, is going nicely, according to his plan. And Giriraj is always still smiling, because today he looks a little intoxicated. I don't know. I don't know what you gave him for Shadam yesterday. He looks quite pleased, though. So it's nice being here. Any questions? Yes.
So what would be the if I have problems like getting to all my anarchists that keep coming up, what would be a good way to get purified, to get the Brahman purified?
To get free from the anarchists?
Sorry?
What's a good way of getting free from the anarchists? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Worship the deities, chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, serve the devotees, make the atmosphere spiritual. Is that enough? Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Om Vishnu Hare Krishna Prasthavite Swami Swami Stay Sasa